Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Tom.
And how are you today?
Excellent. How are you today?
I'm just peachy keen, fine, swell. Sitting here, sun's out, the geese are out, the geese droppings in the parking lot are out, so got a little minefield to walk around so that I don't track some of their remembrances in here with us.
Exactly.
Yeah, not cool. So anyway, I thought today we would kind of continue with the Little Blue House story. And I got a lot of input from people that I sent this to. And yes, we are going to put this on a website. We're working on that now. But the folks that I sent this to directly who wanted to know, you went there, you thought about things, you wrote a few things down, but what was going through your mind while you were there? They're really curious, and it's because they got things going through their mind right now. And they just want to kind of hear from you since you're on the other side of this, and they all want to be on the other side of this. What was it? I mean, when you first got there, you know, did you bring in a sleeping bag and sleep on the floor, or what happened?
I probably did. I really don't remember. You know, I'm sure that I slept on the floor the first night. I was thinking about, you know, my first reaction going into that home. And I remember, you know, getting the keys and going there the first time and thinking, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, like, I did it. Like, I'm actually out. Like, I got out. And it was such a relief. And the house wasn't all that great or nice or whatever, but it was mine.
Right.
You know, not that I owned it, but it was mine. And it kind of became my little sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've mentioned before about it healing and doing a lot of writing, and also mentioned that I've came up with a lot of great life analogies in that home through my writings and reflections. And it was very therapeutic, very powerful.
You've shared some of that with me. That's where you came up with Venom. That's where you came up with Empty Wives Club.
Yeah.
I was listening with great attention when you were telling me about the list that you created. And you did your negative list first, then you did your positive list. And I think what you said was right then and there is when you decided, when your positives were more than your negatives, that why don't I do this? And you physically felt something shift or change in your own mind. So.
Right. Well, I became, again, really aware of my words and the thoughts of myself, my internal dialogue. I'm going to continue to hit on that probably in every podcast, because words have become so important to me. After the realization of Venom, and then just doing all of this writing and therapeutic kind of work, it really just made me aware of what I was putting in my mind and what I was allowing other people to put in my mind. And the old tapes that were playing, you know, you're not worth anything, low self-esteem, you know, no confidence, and, you know, you don't deserve this, you don't deserve that, and, you know, always being told I was selfish. And, if anybody knows me, I'm probably the least selfish person.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Like, I would do anything for anyone.
Right.
And anyway, so kind of got off topic there.
That's okay. This is you being you.
It is. A little scattered sometimes. Try and catch up.
we call that ping pong brain around here.
Right.
So my job is to just herd the ping pong so that we eventually get back on topic. That's what we're doing.
There you go. Exactly.
Okay. So, but you did come to a decision, and it was a hard decision, it's a hard and fast decision, I should say, it wasn't difficult. Once you physically looked at what you had produced, the answer was just plain on your face, obvious. I'm going to be positive.
Right.
And that actually pushed some people away because they wanted to keep you in the box of being negative and emotional and that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
that's when you found out who your real friends are.
Yep.
Yeah, that's... Yeah.
Sure did. I sure did.
Yeah, it's kind of the way you find out who your real friends are when you really need friends.
Yeah, absolutely.
You also find out who you are.
That was the biggest thing.
Yeah.
That was the biggest thing. And you know, talked about my list of negative and my list of positives. And once I started writing my positives, I realized, I'm like, you know what? I kind of like myself. You know, like I've done some pretty cool things, and I've learned a lot of different things, and it makes me a well-rounded person. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I like myself. And that's when I probably started to see a shift and a change, mm-hmm. is that spending a lot of time by myself and getting to know who I was again. You know, for so many years, I was a stay-at-home mom. I tried to be June Cleaver. Yeah, that didn't work out.
Pearls and all.
Well, I don't know about that. Okay. But anyway, you know, so it was like me getting back to me. And I had time to do that because I had my own space now.
Right.
And, you know, very therapeutic when my kids were with their father, because there was, like I said before, there's no interruption. And really had time to just reflect on me, who I am, what I want, what I'm about. And yeah, that's pretty much when everything started to shift and change. I saw the, you know, my list of positive negative, and the positives were so much more than the negative, and I thought the negatives would have been so much more than the positives. But when I wrote it down and saw it in black and white, it was staring at me right in the face. You know, it was just like I became aware of it, so I could not now ignore it.
Now that you had given birth to this and did not have somebody around there trying to keep you in, you know, keep your lid tied down, keep you taped right into your box or whatever, telling you how unworthy you were, you were able to look at things with a new light and without the negative interference of somebody who really didn't have your best interest at heart.
Right.
To this day, I cannot understand how people can love each other and continuously fight with each other. I don't get that.
Right.
Something I've never understood. Well, be that as it may, when did you move out of the little blue house?
February of 2014.
Okay. And into your present accommodations, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you were in there for a while, good while.
I was. I moved in May of 2012.
Okay.
And out February 2014. The place that I purchased now was my Valentine's Day present to myself.
And a very good one, I might
add. It was.
So what I'm trying to get people to hear is this challenge that you gave to yourself is the reason you are where you are now. It's not because of resignation. It's not because of, failed again or whatever people usually want to think when they're in a divorce situation or a romantic entanglement has come to zero. You basically used it as a launching point for yourself, correct?
Yes. I guess I did. You know, me getting back to me, me finding out who, like I said, who I am.
It's almost like you gave yourself permission to be yourself.
Yes.
And for people that don't understand that, I sincerely hope it's because you never experienced it. For the folks that do understand that, I sincerely hope you keep listening, because we're going to talk about that a lot. And giving yourself permission to feel, giving yourself permission to take care of yourself. And by taking care of yourself, you're then able to take care of others.
Right.
If you can't take care of yourself, who can you take care
Absolutely.
Of?
Absolutely. And that's an analogy that I used with my kids to kind of explain to them what was going on. I told them, I said, you know what? I said, you know how on an airplane, you know, they tell you about the oxygen mask, that when it comes down, put it on yourself first and then assist others?
Right.
And I would tell my kids, I said, that's what mommy's doing right now. I said, I'm putting the oxygen mask on myself right now and taking care of myself so that I can be better for you and take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
And they understood that. They got it. They understood it.
Well, them being teenagers, they're doing teenage things, of course. And they're learning about their own selves. And then you have what you're still trying to teach them as their mom, and show them and be the example and that kind of stuff. And it's difficult for folks that haven't been in a single parent role to understand that you're not taking on both roles at all. You're still doing the role that you're in. I was referred to as Mr. Mom for our major mom for a long time, and I kind of let it go. But I never tried to assume the role of what a mom should be to my two daughters. Still don't. So when you're trying to get your sons to understand what it is like to be men, and you use your own examples and that kind of stuff with what you're doing, or does it even come up?
What do you mean as far as the...
A man does this for a woman. A gentleman does this for a lady.
Yes, I have talked with them, and I've taught my boys, you know, certain little things to do for women. I mean, simple things. Open the car door. Open the door of the restaurant. You know, be careful of your words. And I think in the beginning I harped on them a lot about their words because it was still such a raw emotion for me. Mm-hmm. And whenever they would say something mean to each other or that would really bother me. It still bothers me. And they're finally getting it though, that don't talk like that around me. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. Because I am going to call you out on it and I'm not going to put up with it. And, but at the beginning I would constantly, you know, they would say something and I would get so upset and I'm like, don't you guys understand what I went through? And then I'll start to explain like some of the abuse. I got completely way off on that, but I would talk about words and, you know, and, about how sensitive, you know, I am to that.
Right.
And that they have to be aware of their words with other people. So whether it's in relationships with friends or in relationships with, you know, women, I try to always tell them, watch your words. Just be aware of it. And, you know, I don't harp so much on the venom any longer.
Okay.
Because, like I said, I think they finally got it.
Okay. Well, you are what you allow.
Yes.
In your presence. And you, the things that you and I have talked about, and the things that you and I have shared over the years, it's not that I watch what I'm saying around you, because that's not the kind of friendship or respect
right.
we have for each other. But I am very cognizant of some things that a lot of people think are funny, and I kind of don't.
Right,
and
I agree.
I don't repeat that. I don't use that. I don't go there type
right.
thing. You don't either.
No.
It's very interesting listening. I mean, we couldn't be doing this if we didn't have the relationship we've got.
Right.
And which right. is based off of respect and based off of being, you know, a lady and gentleman, that kind of thing. But the other part about it, things that you have told me about that you do or don't do these days, you really live this. You really epitomize this.
Yes.
This is just not something that you're saying. This
no.
this is your life.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. And how's that going for you?
It's good. It's good. It's you know, this is my life mission. Purpose is to bring awareness to the power of our words. It all comes down to that. Everything. You know, if you are thinking negative, you're going to attract negative into your life. If you're thinking positive, then you're going to attract positive into your life.
And this is things that you do in your life coaching business too.
Yes.
The one you got certified in. So if people are curious as to, you know, actually speaking directly to Karen, we're going to make that available later on. We're still trying to develop how we're going to make that happen. Mm-hmm. But your life coaching business, when you started that the first time, we didn't really market that very well.
No. Well, I was going through a lot of healing.
Yeah.
And a different kind of healing, you know, and that's something that we'll talk about. You know, I had to, I'll just mention it very quickly, emergency brain surgery, June of 2014.
Yes, you did.
And one of the things that I learned from that is called post-traumatic growth, which is something that I will definitely hit on, because it actually comes down to, it relates to everything that I'm talking about up till now and we'll continue to talk about.
I think that the aneurysm that you had removed, the one they knew about and the two that they didn't until they got in there and started poking around. So yes, Karen does have brain. She's actually verified, has pictures that she doesn't really want to show me and I don't want to see them, but that's okay. But I think that started you off on the path that you're on, that gave you the momentum, if you will, fueled your fire.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was like a rebirth. I call the day of my surgery my rebirth day, because I was given another chance. I was given a bonus round.
Yes, you are.
And I at that time I was in real estate, and I was like, this is not what I'm supposed to be doing.
No.
And so yeah, that kind of set me on my path and my journey in getting my certification in coaching and hypnosis and doing the laughter yoga and bringing all of these positive modalities into my life and then into my business.
Correct. And yeah. Those are all things that we're going to touch on more, obviously, in future episodes.
Right.
Word about our sponsor. Well, it's Brewetta Tea.
Yes.
I started my day off with the English breakfast today.
And that's exactly what I'm having as well.
Okay. It's got kind of I call it a sweet flavor to it. It's not like English breakfast tea, which has been kind of bitter.
Right.
That I've had before, which is why most people that drink that, you know, put enough sugar and cream in there to float a battleship. But this stuff's pretty good. I enjoy it.
Yeah,
okay.
It is good.
Well, thank you for your time again.
Well, thank you, Tom. I appreciate it. And thanks to our audience for listening as well.
Indeed. And without you, we wouldn't be here.
Mm-hmm.
So we will try to catch you later.
Have a great day.
You do the same.